Well, good morning and happy Easter to everyone. Whether you are live with us on Zoom or catching up on the podcast, you're very welcome. And we are delighted that you're able to join us as we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ together. So as we begin, let's take a moment to pray. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this wonderful news that Jesus is alive. Lord, over this weekend, we have taken time to remember how he gave himself for us, how he went willingly, obediently to the cross to pay a punishment which he did not deserve, the punishment we deserved for our sin. And Lord, that we thank you that in doing so, he gave us life and reconciliation. He's given us hope. And we thank you, Lord, that he is alive and that that hope is confirmed. That we know we do not have to fear death when we are in Christ Jesus because he is alive. Lord, we thank you that even at this time where we are not able to meet together in person, we are able to come together to celebrate, to rejoice, and to look to Christ, the author and perfecter of our faith, in whose name we pray. Amen. Well, as we begin, we're going to have a reading to start off and some verses where Paul talks about the resurrection in 1 Corinthians 15. And Daniel is going to come and take over my screen and read for us from 1 Corinthians 15.
1 Corinthians 15, verse 1 to 7 and 20 to 22. Now I would remind you, brothers and sisters of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as the first importance of what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter, then to the 12, then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Verse 20. Truly Christ has been raised from the dead, first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by man came death, by a man has also come the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive.
Amen. Thank you, Daniel. We're going to hear a little bit more of that chapter at the very end of our service as well. But we're going to pause now to sing. We're going to have a hymn Eileen's going to play for us. And hopefully, if you can see my screen when I put it up, you'll be able to follow the words. And this is a hymn that reminds us that the crucified and risen Christ has come before God on our behalf, so that we can be secure, we can have confidence in him. So we're going to sing Before the Throne of God Above, and then we're just going to go straight on to the next few bits. Marta and Davy are going to do a little bit for the kids, and then we're going to sing part of Psalm 68. And then after we've sung that, Callum's going to lead us in prayer. But first of all, we're going to sing Before the Throne of God Above.
Let's pray together. Father, we want to bless you because of your great power, and we thank you that you are strong to save. Lord, we bless you that you've raised your son Jesus from the grave, Lord, we recognize again today how amazing, how wonderful, how much of a miracle that is. Thank you, Lord, that you have raised him into eternal life and you've raised us with him that we might dwell forever with you in him. And we bless you, Lord, that you've given us eternal life this day. Lord, these are difficult days, but we realize that when Christ was raised from the dead, there were also difficult days with people in occupied territory and people in difficulty. And so we thank you, Lord, that we can share down through the generations the joy of celebrating the birth of the resurrection of Jesus in all kinds of different circumstances. And today, Lord, we want to praise you. We want to worship you, Lord Jesus, that you freely gave your life. You freely set your face as a flint to go to the cross, knowing that the resurrection would come, knowing that you would be raised to life. And we bless you today, Lord. We are full of thanksgiving. We're full of joy. Lord, we recognize that our sins were all taken away in Christ. But Lord, if you'd left us with that and not raised us also to be with him, then Lord, as your word says, we would all men be most miserable. And we thank you today, Lord, that we're not miserable because we're rejoicing in Jesus. We're glad in Christ that we've been raised from the dead. And so today, Lord, we give you our hearts again to be used by you to spread the gospel of salvation, to spread the gospel of the good news that Jesus is alive, that he's living in us, that he's reigning on high forevermore. And we bless you and we worship you today, Lord, with all our hearts, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you all. Well, through this past week, and each morning, Monday to Friday, we were spending some time looking at Romans 5, as Davy and Marta mentioned. We were thinking about how the death of Jesus on the cross deals with our past, present and future. Forgives us, justifies us, which means declares us not guilty before God, and gives us the hope of glory. We're given the Spirit and God's grace for every day. So we rejoice in hope, we rejoice in suffering, and above all, we rejoice in God himself. We saw in that chapter how the cross is the act of righteousness that leads to life. An act of abundant grace that meets and more than matches the abundance of sin, bringing those who have faith in Christ into a reconciled relationship with God, bringing us from death to life. Chapter 6 continues to speak about the cross, but it now also brings the resurrection much more into view. So this morning we're going to have perhaps a longer reading than usual. We're going to hear the whole of both Romans chapter 5 and chapter 6. First of all, Gary's going to read Romans 5 and then Liz is going to read Romans 6.
Romans 5, peace and joy. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into the grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. You see, at just the right time when we are still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man. Though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only this is so, but we also rejoice in God, our Lord Jesus Christ, to whom we have now received reconciliation. Death through Adam, life through Christ. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, the death through sin, and in this way death came to all men, because all sinned. For before the law was given, sin was in the world, but sin is not taken into account when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command, added Adam, who was a pattern of the one to come. But the gift is not like the trespass, for if many died by the trespass of the one man, how much more did God's grace, the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? Again, the gift of God is not like the result of one man's sin. The judgment followed once the sin and brought condemnation, but the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. For if by the trespass of the one man death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Consequently, just as the result of one trespass was condemnation for all men, so also the result of one act of righteousness was justification that brings life for all men. For just as through the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man, the many will be made righteous. The law was added so that the trespass might increase, but where sin increased, grace increased all the more, so that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through the righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Romans chapter 6. Well then, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? Of course not. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? Or have you forgotten that when we were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, we joined him in his death? For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism, and just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. Since we have been united with him in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. And since we died with Christ, we know we will also live with him. We are sure of this because Christ was raised from the dead and he will never die again. Death no longer has any power over him. When he died once to break the power of sin. But now that he lives for the glory of God. So you also should consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Christ Jesus. Do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to sinful desires. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God, for you were dead, but now you have new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. Sin is no longer your master, for you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. Well then, since God's grace has set us free from the law, does that mean we can go on sinning? Of course not. Don't you realise that you become the slave to whatever you choose to obey? You can be a slave to sin, which leads to death, or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living. Thank God, once you were slaves of sin, but now you wholeheartedly obey this teaching we have given you. Now you are free from your slavery to sin, and you have become slaves to righteous living. Because of the weakness of your human nature, I am using the illustration of slavery to help you understand all this. Previously, you let yourselves be slaves to impurity and lawlessness, which led ever deeper into sin. Now you must give yourselves to be slaves to righteous living, so that you will become holy. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the obligation to do right. And what was the result? You are now ashamed of the things you used to do, things that end in eternal doom. But now you are free from the power of sin and have become slaves of God. Now you do those things that lead to holiness and result in eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Liz and Gary. Towards the end of Romans 5, in verse 20, Paul says that where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. And it's as if he anticipates the response, well, grace is a good thing, so if we sin more, does that mean we get to experience more grace? I like the way that the translation Liz read put it, of course not. And the resurrection in chapter 6 helps us to answer this question. Read again from verse 2, and this is in the ESV. By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. That's that image that Davy and Marta helped us with. We had the heavy chains of sin, and now we're not just free from the sin, but we are given newness of life. But before we talk about the newness of life, we do have to talk about death. And Paul talks about that in this chapter. He says it's not just that our sin died and was put to death at the cross. He says that we also die with sin, to sin. Verse 5 says we are united with him in death. Verse 6, our old self was crucified with him. Verse 8, we have died with Christ. I think you get the point. Remember what Jesus said. If anyone would come after me, they must deny themselves, take up their cross and follow me. That is, follow him into death to sin, death to self, death to our old way of life that leads to judgment and eternal separation from God. And if we have died to these things, how can we who died to sin still live in it? We take up our cross, and the cross takes us to the resurrection. Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. We will, in verse 5, certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his, the resurrection of his body at his return. We will, in verse 8, live with him. And so, as verse 9 shows, we will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him, nor therefore over us. And so, Paul says in verse 11, you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. But this chapter doesn't just state the fact that through faith, those who are justified in Christ are also raised with him to eternal life. It also points to some implications of this for our lives. And chiefly, it says that our new life should be different. If we are raised with Christ, the new resurrection life should look like his life. Now, of course, if we look forward, we know that one day it will. That for all those who are in Christ, one day our life will be perfectly holy and pure. John wrote this in his first letter. We know that when he appears, we shall be like him because we shall see him as he is. We know it will happen. But Romans 6 tells us don't just wait for that day. It tells us that we can live the life we have in Christ now. And of course, we may then say, well, I've tried and I can't do it. I just keep doing wrong. My life, to be honest, doesn't often bear very much resemblance to the life of Jesus. Well, to encourage you, go and read Romans 7, particularly the second half, and you'll find that Paul had exactly the same challenge. It is part of the normal Christian life, but it's not hopeless. Romans 8:11 tells us this, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. He's saying that God has given us his spirit. We share in the life of Christ and we share in that even now. In our mortal bodies, as he puts it, we are given the power of that new life. So you're right to say, well, I can't do it. But God can. And God does. Galatians 2 verse 20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We often sing at CBC that beautiful new hymn, Yet not I, but through Christ in me. So we're right, we cannot live this new life, but God gives us the power to live it, not yet perfectly, but we will one day. But if it is lived through Christ in us, then it's not about our effort, and we're not under law. We do have to put effort into it, don't get me wrong, but that is not what makes it possible. And so if it is not our effort that makes it possible, we are not under law. Living under the law is about seeking to please God by our works, by what we do. But Paul says in verse 14, you are not under law, but under grace. And then in verse 17, he says, you who once were slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. You've become obedient from the heart. This here is the fulfillment of the promise of Jeremiah 31, where God promises the new covenant and he says he will write his law on the hearts of his people. He's done that. We have become obedient from the heart. And then Paul goes on to say that having been set free from slavery to sin, we have become slaves to righteousness. You might think, well, is that really a good thing, to go from one slavery to another? But he's talking about two very different things here. Slavery to sin is harsh and oppressive. We can't resist it. We're powerless against it. We can't please God when we are slaves to sin, no matter how hard we try. But being slaves to righteousness is very different. It is about that new heart that God has given us, where he has written his law on our hearts. Slavery to righteousness is having a heart that is newly inclined to God's ways, that its deepest desire is to live to please God. And we discover that actually it is a joy, the deepest joy, to follow him. We discover the truth of Jesus' words, that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And Paul also says then that as we follow Jesus, as we discover the joy of this slavery to righteousness, of finding the law written on our hearts, and as we seek his help to live by that law, we will find that our lives bear new fruit. Verses 19 and 20 speak of how the fruit of a sinful or lawless life is only more lawlessness. It is going deeper and deeper into sin and ultimately into death and separation from God. But by contrast, look at verse 22. Now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. Sanctification is the process of being made holy, being made like Christ. And as we said earlier, this is what the resurrection life will ultimately look like when he returns. And if we live that life, if God has brought us from death to life in Jesus Christ, that is an end that is guaranteed. It is not dependent on us, but on the Almighty God. I am sure of this, Paul writes to the Philippians, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. And so the glorious fruit of the resurrection, an eternal, sanctified, holy life, it is begun in us now. And we look at the risen and reigning Christ, and we know that it will be completed. And so we turn to God. We approach the throne of grace in Christ. And we seek God's grace to help us to live that new life that he has given us day by day. For as Paul tells us, we died with him in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the resurrection. We thank you for the hope that it gives us, not just for the future, but a hope that it gives us today. It gives us the hope that we can live in a way that pleases you. That by your grace and the power of the Spirit in us, our lives can honour you and can display your glory to the people around us who so desperately need Jesus. Lord, let that be our desire. Shape that in us, we pray. But Father, we also thank you that we know that that work of bringing us to glory will be completed. That when Christ returns, we will be given a resurrection body and we will live in perfect newness of life. We will reflect your glory. We will display you. And we will spend eternity in loving and joyful service and worship of you, knowing, as we know now and yet sometimes struggle to believe, knowing that our whole purpose is found in union with you and in worship with you. So, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for these events that change everything for us. For the cross and the empty grave. We thank you that you have removed those chains of sin from us when we were powerless, when we were sinful, when we were your enemies. And instead you have given us Christ's robes of righteousness. Lord, what a joy it is to know you and to live in this newness of life. And we pray, Father, that as we do so, many others would come to see you in your glory and would also come to know that resurrection life for themselves. Lord, it is you who has done this for us, and you can do it in others. And we pray, Lord, that you would do so to your glory. Amen. Well, in a few moments, we're going to have another hymn, Rejoice the Lord is King. But first, we're going to have a reading. And we're going to read some verses from the end of 1 Corinthians 15. Davina's going to read for us 1 Corinthians 15 from verse 50.
I declare to you, brothers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labour in the Lord is not in vain.
Well, thank you for joining us this morning, and I pray that you would know God's blessing through the rest of this Easter day and in this time as well, when we continue to be separated as God's people but nonetheless united in Christ. Let's close and with a benediction from the book of Hebrews. And now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good, that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen.